Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alan Levy Show at blogtalkradio.com. Be prepared to call in now and chat with Alan and his very special guest right here at blogtalkradio.com. With no more further ado, please welcome your host, Mr. Alan Levy.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm really excited to be here. It's a special night at Blog Talk Radio. Happy New Year to everyone in Blog Talk Radio land. This evening, we have a very special guest. Doug Allen is our guest, and the show will be about 30 minutes. You can find the show at blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy. We will be taking some calls, a couple of calls at the end of the show, so we welcome you in the chat rooms as well. So let me introduce my guest, Doug Allen. He's here, and he's in L.A., and he's preparing for Season 6 of Entourage. It's, of course, hugely popular, and really excited that he's here. So, Doug, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Good. My pleasure. Well, this is. I know you're very busy. We just talked when you were... You weren't in the green room. We actually don't have a green room, right? I'm in New Jersey, and you're in L.A. But I know you're busy, so I appreciate you taking the time.
It's
wonderful that you're able to come on the show. I wanted to kind of let everyone. I wanted you to talk about your background, where you're from, and kind of get into season five and talk about season six, if that's okay. Well, Bill, I know you can't talk much about it, but at least where you are in the process.
Sure. You have questions, I'll tell you whatever you need to know.
So you grew up in Merrick,
uh-huh.
Long Island, that's right?
Merrick, Long Island, yeah.
And we talked about this a couple of years ago. I think you were on a show, and that was the bustling Hollywood of the East, right, where you have all these creative ideas. That must have worked out well, right, Merrick?
What, coming from Merrick? Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a good town. It was a good way to grow up. You know, it was a nice middle class mix, and you know, crazy gangsters next to Jewish dentists. It was a nice group.
Well, I know you've used that for a lot of your creative ideas and so on, right?
Yeah, a lot of stuff has come out of my childhood and the way I grew up and people I knew growing up. A lot of stuff has been, you know, gone into the show. So.
Well, it's been great, and this past year was wonderful. I want to talk about it, but I also should, in full disclosure, to my audience here at Blog Talk Radio. By the way, those that want to call in, maybe we'll take a couple of calls. Hillary is on manning the switchboards tonight. The call-in number is 347-677-0649. You can call that number. You could put some questions in the chat room, which is live and open. You could find it on our website. So I know, Doug, I know you've, you know, your whole life and many years, good family friends. And I saw your dad, and I want to give a shout out to June and Marvin hope they're doing well tonight. And I know my mom complains all the time. I never speak to her. She never hears my voice. So at least we have an opportunity. She can hear your voice on the show tonight.
Yeah, that'll be nice. Although I do actually, you should call your mother more often. I speak to my mother pretty much every day. So.
Wow, that's awesome.
I call her every day. So.
That's good. That's awesome. I you make me look bad right now.
I know. But you got to. Everyone's got to call their mother.
But I did talk to your dad, and I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know, Marvin, I must have been one of the only people in the world that saw you on the final episode of Entourage this year. And he said, can you believe it? You are the only person that saw me that. He says, I have a bone to pick with my son.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all over the cutting room floor. So I got to find out what happened there to Marvin. I know he was in that scene for a brief moment, but what happened?
My dad was not happy, but he didn't get cut. That's how the scene was shot. It was a little scene with Michael Phelps, and he was coming up off the subway, and you know, he got almost as much screen time as Michael Phelps, which is pretty good. So, but he complained that he did not have enough.
He complained. That is really funny. So you can't even get a break from your father.
Nope, never.
That is really funny. So I heard on the HBO website. I mean, I saw on the website and watched the video. You were talking about Scorsese and how you're able to attract some of these. The cameo appearances, some of the great stars for these cameo appearances. Yeah. Talk a little about that, because I think it's amazing what you've been able to, you know, who you've been able to bring in, and it really is a great aspect of the show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone's different, and, you know, it's interesting. That particular episode had three, you know, pretty big people. Gus Van Sant, who hopefully is going to get an Academy Award nomination for Milk this year, and who's one of the best directors. Scorsese, obviously, and Michael Phelps, and they all came different ways. Gus and Michael are actually fans of the show, which was great and made it somewhat easy. But Michael Phelps, we happened to run into while we were shooting just on the street and grabbed him and said, hey, can we try this? And he said, sure, and we did it in, you know, a couple of minutes, and the entire city of New York shut down and we let Michael go. But Scorsese, fortunately...
Well, hold on,
you know,
before you go to Scorsese, what do you mean you just walked in? You just ran into Michael Phelps in Manhattan?
Yeah, I mean, the whole story was Michael. I got an email from one of Michael's people in the middle of the Olympics that said Michael loves Entourage, would love to be on it. He had like four gold medals at this point. And I said, okay, and I told everyone, and everyone got all excited about it. And then everybody kept asking me, well, what happened with Michael Phelps? What happened with Michael Phelps? I said, I assume he's focused on, you know, winning gold medals. He's not worrying about this, but nobody's responding to me. So I never heard back for a few weeks, and everyone was like, you know, basically going, did Michael Phelps really, you know, does he really want to be on the show? Blah, 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 blah. And about 3 weeks after the Olympics, or maybe less, we're in New York shooting, and I get a call at 6 o'clock in the morning. Our call time's like 6:15. I get a call. Michael Phelps' manager just walked by. He's going to be coming by in a half an hour. If you can come up with something for him, he'll do it. So I jumped up, ran down there, and we came up with this quick thing, which was, you know, it was fun and it was small, but it was great. And I mean, without exaggeration, cabs were stopping, buses were stopping, and
hey, he's huge.
He's huge, like really like Elvis. I mean, when Entourage was shooting, there were a lot of lookers and people would walk by, but when Michael Phelps came, the city stopped. And after about four takes, his whole security team grabbed him, put him in a truck, and they took off. So, but that was very cool. And I went from Phelps scene to Scorsese scene, and how we got.
Yeah, tell me about that. That was amazing.
Scorsese, actually, you know, which all my guys pronounced it wrong in the scene, which was a little funny because Scorsese says, "Hey, it's Martin Scorsese," and then everyone else calls him Scorsese. So, which has always been an interesting thing that nobody knows how to pronounce it. But Scorsese obviously did Departed with Mark, and Mark got an Academy Award nomination. So Mark, you know, was gracious enough to call him and ask him to do it, and, you know, it was great. You know,
it was great.
And Gus Van Sant is a fan of the show, so to get them both, when I started this script, I said, I need Gus Van Sant, I need Martin Scorsese, so if we don't have that, basically there's no episode. So that's how we started, even before I had written it. And once you get into it, you know, it starts to get stressful, because if you don't get these guys, you know, all of a sudden you don't have an episode, so...
Right, sure. And of course, Scorsese, I guess that's the way to pronounce it?
Yeah, Scorsese.
Scorsese, he was in Larry David's show, wasn't he?
He was in Curb, yeah.
He was in Curb, and that was great. And do you interact with your fellow HBO kind of,
I mean, I know Larry was on Entourage first season, and I know him just from around town. He's a very nice guy. But, no, there's no, you know, kind of creative interaction about what they're doing or what we're doing or anything like that.
Two totally different dynamics here. So,
yeah.
So what did you think of this past season? Were you really happy with, I mean, how did it rank for you? I mean, the person who created Entourage, you wrote most of the episodes. I mean, you write all of them, but I mean, what do you think about this year compared to other years?
I mean, it's funny. I just got an instant message while I'm doing this, my friend says I sound insane.
I sound normal. I don't think
so. Anyway, I thought this was our best season. You know, I thought the season before was probably our worst season. And, you know, I really tried to focus on finding something new and different for this. And the show took on a little different tone this year, a little more dramatic. And I felt really good about it. So hopefully people liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was the best season, and I have been following it since the beginning. Not just because I know you for forever, but because it's a great show. But I thought what you did this year with it was you really developed the characters a great deal, and all of them, and they each had their own. They kind of went their own ways, and I thought that was your intention.
Yeah, I mean it was really, and you know we'll keep going that way in season six. It was really the plan to start building these guys on their own. Obviously, the show's called Entourage, and when it started, you know, it's supposed to be one group. But I can't say I'm getting messages from this guy. He's making me paranoid.
You're behind the scenes. You're behind the scenes. You have to worry about that stuff.
Yeah, I know. I should be well-spoken, though, if I write.
We'll edit out the ums.
Please do that. Please do that. And let me shout out to my friend Mark Abrams, who's hopefully his family will listen in Dix Hills too and know that he's harassing me while I'm doing it. So, what were we talking about?
No, we were talking.
Yeah, this season and next season, I really wanted to focus on separating these guys and not making it a one group thing. You know, the term Entourage obviously relates to the group. But to make them individuals, I think, will hopefully carry us for a few more seasons. So that was the intent last year.
And you accomplished it. And I think that certain of the characters, like E, really developed. And Turtle, you know,
yeah,
with this Jamie Lynn thing, which I thought was amazing.
I mean,
what? How'd
yeah,
you create that?
Yeah, I mean, Jerry has been getting on me for, you know, 3 years. Give me something to do. I can do it. Give me the ball. So this year I met Jamie through a friend of mine, and I actually thought Jerry and her would have great chemistry from meeting her and knowing him aside from the characters. So that's where that came from, and fortunately it worked out really good. So.
Yeah, it did. And of course, Ari is just Ari.
Yeah, Jeremy's great.
Yeah, he was great this year. What kind of energy, the energy that he puts into that, it's amazing how he's just, you know, storming around that office. And
yeah, Jeremy, you know, whenever Jeremy's on screen, there's just a vibrancy that he brings to it and a real, as you say, energy. He's very manic, and just there's always something alive about his performance. So
yeah, and drama is just same old drama. I mean, he doesn't seem to develop. You see more stuff for him down the road?
Yeah, we're going to do some different things from him from this year, from last year. You know, last year was a little angrier drama. We're going to find some other things from this year coming up.
That's good. Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about as well was, you know, just what does it feel like to be sitting on top of, you know, one of the most successful TV shows out there? Yeah, I know you started in comedy. I mean, I don't know if a lot of people know your history, like how you made it to this point.
Yeah, you know, I started as a stand-up comic and had a lot of years of struggling out here. Made a couple of independent movies that studios picked up but didn't make very much money. So it's, you know, it's been a long struggle till we got to this point, but it's, you know, it feels good. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's a good feeling to know that, you know, we did a show about Hollywood and Hollywood has embraced it. So that, you know, that obviously makes us feel good. But
yeah, I think it's more than embraced it. And are you much involved in, you know, the Facebook groups, and do you follow what's going on in social media?
Not too much. No, I mean, as far as what?
No, but you know how Entourage is perceived in the, you know, online. And
no, I don't really look at some of that. Sometimes I'll look at the HBO website, see what people are saying, but not too much.
Well, it's viral and it's very very popular online. Certainly, you know, we had Debbie Mazar on a show a couple weeks ago that went real well.
Yeah, she's funny as hell. So.
She is funny as hell.
I was just watching her in Goodfellas last night. I forgot how good she was in that.
Classic movie. We're going to take a call. We have Jason on the line, and maybe we'll take a call. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Hey, Doug, you know, I'm late to the game. I discovered Entourage halfway through last season and went out and bought all the box sets so I can catch up.
Nice. Good.
And I just have one question for you, because I've gotten sucked in, and, I mean, this is going to be must-see TV for me.
Right.
Please tell me you've thought ahead to the ending, and we're not going to end up with something like The Sopranos when this is all said and done.
No, I'm going to kill everyone in the diner.
Okay, good.
Now, I wish I could tell you I've thought ahead. It's probably my greatest shortcoming. I'm not even ahead to the next episode. I'm writing episode 6 of season 6 right now, and I have no idea what episode 7 is. And that's kind of, you know, how it's been for 6 years. I think one season we kind of came up with an arc. I think that was probably the season that my friend, actually Mark Abrams, who's listening to this show right now, was writing on the show. He's a little more organized than I am. So I think we actually came up with some substance of what the plan was. But usually I kind of just go, an episode ends, and I go, okay, what's next? So We'll try to, you know, we'll try to keep it as true to what the show is and what the characters are as possible. And when the end is, I don't know that either. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jason, for calling. Well, since you've mentioned Mark a few times, I think we should give a shout out to Mark. So maybe he should call in. What do you think?
Yeah, tell him to call in. I don't know if he's still listening anymore.
Mark, you got to call in. It's 347-677-0649, and you'll have all the opportunity to rank on him. So season six. What are we gonna see? I mean, what can you tell us about season six?
Keep growing from where we were in season five. You know, the guys are gonna keep developing their own lives and their own stories, which, you know, at the end of the day, complicates the show, but also makes it more interesting. You know, it's still a 30-minute comedy, but I'm really going to try to flesh out these guys and see them doing their own thing, so it's not just, you know, the four guys together all the time. They're going to go get relationships and find separate lives from each other a little bit. So, you know, I think it's going to have, again, which, you know, one of the things that's been interesting about the show is that it kind of changes every year a little bit, you know, and I think this year will be no exception, so... Hopefully, people will enjoy that.
What's the magic of a four-person cast in a comedy? You know, Seinfeld, of course. I don't know. Is that something out there? Four people cast and very successful.
We got Jeremy, so it's really five. You know.
Oh right, I'm sorry. Right, but the four entourage guys.
You know, the four entourage guys. You know, I don't know. I mean, Sex and the City was four, and HBO helped me whittle this down to four, because, you know, the first pilot I wrote had about 14 characters in it, and they kept getting it down, and I think, you know, people sometimes say it's the male Sex and the City, and I think HBO, you know, slowly helped me see that there was something in the number four to have these four friends, and five might be too many and three might be too little. I don't know, but, you know, it works for us, and I think the real magic in any show is to have a cast that, you know, has that chemistry together. And, you know, from minute one, these guys really had it. All five of them kind of just blend together well and mix together, and they hang out off set and on set. So, you know, it makes you feel like you're watching real friends, which they are. So,
yeah, it's true. Are they doing any ad-lib stuff, or are you writing all the lines? I mean, like, when they're sitting around on the couch, you know, playing video games or watching, a porn or whatever, I mean, is there any ad-lib going on?
I mean, and, you know, everyone always asks them. It's like, you know, for some reason, it's not good enough for actors to act. But the truth is, there really is not a lot of ad-libbing. I mean, Jeremy's probably the only one who, at the end of scenes, he'll throw something here and there. I mean, more how we do it is, if someone thinks of a line, they'll call me up or they'll say, hey, let's do this. But there's not a usual – when you're doing scenes with four or five people, if people start ad-libbing all over the place, nobody will be able to follow it, and they will not be able to act off each other. So it's pretty tightly scripted, but – it's not controlling. So anyone who's got an idea or has got a moment they want to say, but usually I talk to the cast so often about scripts that whatever input they have is usually there before we get to the set.
I enjoyed the scene when they went out to the desert.
Yeah.
What motivated you to put that together? And who was in there? Was that Peter Fonda?
Eric Roberts.
Right. Almost it seemed like Peter Fonda, right?
No, Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts, that was a great show.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, that Ally Musiker wrote that episode. It was sort of loosely based on a couple of experiences I mentioned to her and some of her own experiences. But we wanted to do something just totally different, and that was probably the most different episode we ever did. It was different in pace, it was different in tone, and we just wanted to do something that was a little wild. So
yeah, it was,
I think it was
sure.
Probably the most polarizing episode we ever did, which, you know, people either absolutely loved or absolutely hated it, so, which I think is usually a good sign.
Referring to the mushrooms?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, your parents aren't listening, so don't worry about it. You never
That's
did them,
right.
Ever. Never. Do any of the characters kind of fall within the way you grew up or were any of your close friends?
Yeah, I mean, these guys are basically, you know, the four guys are basically based on me and my three friends growing up in terms of characterizations. There were four of us. I was kind of the Eric character, and then I had three other, you know, Merrick knuckleheads that were basically these other guys. And I've taken, you know, characterizations from different people in different places, but at the end of the day, you know, those guys kind of always come, it always comes back to them, so.
And, of course, we have to mention Marvin, your dad, who...
Yeah, Marvin's the accountant, and Paulie Herman, who's also a veteran of Goodfellas, he plays that character and is great.
Right. Was he active this year? I would have thought he'd be more active given the precarious financial position of the group this year.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, he thinks he should be more active, too. I got to find a way to get him back. He's so good. So, you know, he had an episode. I just can't keep going to the guys who are going broke, even though the whole world's going broke right now.
Yeah, finally, right.
Finally, Vince is starting to make money. He's been going broke for the last four seasons, so.
No. Well, you know, what you've really been able to do is build the other characters. He may have gotten weaker, but I think you did a great job with it. So we have a couple of people calling in, and we're going to check them out. But I pulled something from BuddyTV.com. I just Googled Entourage, and it says, here's Entourage Season 6 prediction. So I'm going to throw some stuff at you for creative guidance.
Yeah.
All right? So let's see. Though Vince may be back on top, it's hard to imagine that it will be all smooth sailing on the set of the new Scorsese flick. He has a lot to live up to, as Scorsese has worked with the best, and his films are always critically acclaimed. Really funny. So these websites are all, you know, populating ideas of where you think this is going to go.
Right. It's interesting. I mean, you know, it's probably not where I'm going to go, but, you know, it's not a bad idea.
Okay, I got another one for you here, okay?
Yeah.
On to drama. They go on to say, I think it's about time that somebody recognized him for the work he's been doing. What would be better than seeing him nominated for some kind of an award, an Emmy, a Golden Globe, or more likely a People's Choice Award?
Yeah, it'd be great. I mean, we've talked about that, and at some point it probably will happen. I'm not sure when, but, yeah, it's a great idea.
Great idea, right? And here, as for Turtle, well, things with him and Jamie Lynn will likely end soon enough. Let's face it, they're just not for each other. Turtle needs a down-to-earth girl with some street smarts, not a Hollywood princess who calls all the shots.
Jamie, you know, and she's, you know, obviously her character, it's tough to talk about her and her character since she's playing Jamie, but, you know, she actually is a very, very down-to-earth girl. So her character, too, we're trying to keep her very real, even though she's a star. But, you know, it's a interesting balance for Turtle to get this girl, and I think there'll be some funny things to come up next season with a guy like Turtle dating a celebrity and getting photographed and all that type of stuff.
Okay. Well, let's see. We have a couple of calls. I'm going to put one on, and we're going to know from right away if this individual is who he says he is. Hi, you're on Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Yes. Who is this? Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking to Hi. I was wondering if Doug could answer how much influence he thinks his father had in his success here.
Now, of course, we should tell everyone that this is, in fact, Doug's father.
Yeah. Lots of influence.
Why is he mumbling?
Tremendous amount of influence he had. What else you got, Marv?
No, I'm just listening in, and so is your mother. And so is Alicia and Ryan. We're all listening.
Oh, good. Hope I'm doing well.
And yes, and so is Alan.
And Marvin, I hope June heard, of course, that how he says he calls his mom all the time. I think that's incredible. It makes me look bad, actually.
I know, yeah. You better change your attitude. You know, in order to get my question on, your girl there said, well, wait a second, who are you? I said, well, I'm Doug's father and Alan's uncle.
And so in my switchboard here that we developed, I see Doug's dad is on. I said, you better make sure. She says, no, it's him. I said, is he an old guy, quote, unquote? So listen, and also you heard that you unfortunately ended up on the cutting room floor. What was that like when you first spoke to
terrible.
Doug about
that was terrible. What a disappointment. I'll get him for that. There, I had my one big starring role walking up a flight of stairs, and 1/8 of a second, I was gone.
Well, all two of us saw it, so don't worry about it.
No, all right. Thank God for little things.
He really wasn't cut. That was it. It was pretty much how it was shot.
Why'd I have to do it four times?
Because each take, you got to do it. Otherwise, if we used the take you're not in, you wouldn't be in it at all. Then you would have really been cut.
Oh, God.
Well, there's always another season ahead.
Yes, and I'm looking for a bigger role, Doug.
All right, we'll find.
Right.
All right.
All right.
Thanks. Send regards
care.
To Dune, and hope all is well. Send regards
to
Dune.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Okay, good. You never know who's going to call into these shows, but that, of course, everyone was Doug's dad calling in on Blog Talk Radio. So wonderful. That was great. Sorry to put you on the spot like that. But,
no problem.
Sometimes. Who else is going to call in? We wanted Mark to call in. We have a few minutes remaining. There's 4 minutes remaining on the show. We kept this down to 30 minutes because Doug said to me, I'm really not that interesting of a person, so can we please leave it to 30?
It's tough to go 45.
Yeah. So what's in store? I mean, how many seasons do you have in mind, and what other projects are you working on?
I'd like to do 8, and then I don't know. We'll figure it out after that. I'm writing another pilot for HBO, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But right now I'm pretty focused on this, so hopefully we'll do 8 or 9 seasons and give everybody a good ending.
Now, it's been syndicated. It's been picked up. And what season 6, is this the year that it gets picked up, which is a big year in TV land, right?
No, not necessarily. I mean, you know, no bigger than any others, but, you know, we're just... you know, syndication right now is, as with everything else in the world, is, you know, there's not much of a market. Nobody's got any money anywhere. So
it's
not really the concern for me. I just want to keep doing it. We all enjoy it. It's, you know, working well. We're all friends. And it's still fun. And while it's still creative and fun, you know, we just want to keep going. But I think probably another 2 or 3 years after this would probably be enough.
Yeah, well, you know, The characters continue to get developed, and it's a lot of fun. Of course, you will need to make some more room for your father in the next season.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, how long does it take to shoot something like that? I mean, he was in there for a brief moment, but it takes a while, though, right?
Well, I mean, you know, that stuff with Michael, that whole scene right there probably took us, you know, I mean, first you get there and set it all up for an hour, and then, you know, probably an hour and a half, 2 hours to shoot that little Michael Phelps moment.
Yeah. Well, it was great. Do you have any other? If there's anyone that you could have on the show, who would it be to do a cameo?
Oh, I don't know. Actually, I'd like to get Peyton and Eli on this year. That would be exciting. So, trying to work that out.
That would be really cool.
Maybe LeBron, Kobe. I want some athletes this year. We had Phil Mickelson, and that was so great. We want to get some, you know, great athletes and some great New York athletes.
Well, you had Shaq. Did you have Shaq on, or you just? You didn't have him.
Mm-mm.
No, that. Well, you're in L.A. I mean, certainly Kobe would be
yeah,
lots of fun.
Hopefully we're going to get Kobe this year, I hope. And we'll see.
Yeah, and Phil Mickelson was great. Did you play golf with him at all?
Yeah, I played a few holes with him. That was fun. And he was great. You know, he worked with us for 2 days and couldn't have been a nicer guy.
Did he help you with your swing at all, or?
Yeah, there's not much he can do at this point, but, you know, he tried.
Well, that's good. You've been listening to Doug Allen on Blog Talk Radio. The address for this show will be archived at blogtalkradio.com/Allen Levy, and we're pretty much winding it down. So I thank you for coming in. It was great to have you. I know you're busy, and it was great that Marvin called, so thanks, Marvin, for calling. Really appreciate it. And I'll be out in L.A. in probably mid-February. I know you'll be too busy anyway, but...
well, call me for sure.
I will. I'll give you a call. Thanks for calling in.
Great.
I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Appreciate it. So that was Doug Allen calling in, the creator and director of Entourage. I was going to say this when he got on the air, but I was going to say, do you mind if I call you Dougie? But... we're going to leave that back to, I don't know, about 40 years ago. But anyway, he's been terrific. Talked a lot about what's happening in Entourage. Really, it's amazing how the show's developed and so on. So I want to thank him for joining in. I want to thank everyone for calling. This has been Allen Levy. Have a great evening. Thank you.
Thanks for joining Allen and Hillary on the Allen Levy Show. Make sure to join the conversation by calling 347-677-0649 and listen to The Allen Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio.